The undiscovered black country, the folks don't seem to know. The undiscovered black country, where everyone should go. People walk or cycle round, they pass the time of day. The undiscovered black country has places tucked away.
What I thought I'd talk about on this podcast is school, specifically infant school. And the reason why I'm going to specifically talk about infant school, although there is it does run over into junior school, because I did go from Causeway Green Infants into Causeway Green. Well, I think they called it junior, or I can't be sure. It might have been primary. But it's almost like trying to explain. There were three me's, in a way. There were the me that was out of school, that were a varmint. And if you don't know what a varmint is, it's a necker. And if you don't know what a necker is, it's somebody who gets into trouble. Not like illegal trouble, but gets into trouble a lot of the time for stuff that he did or aided, because we had some varmints up the close that were heirs. And then there was the schools me, which there were two on. Now, also, if you're a bit of a necker or a varmint, you'll quickly suss out situations to your advantage. So I already, even in like when I was in the little classes, I thought, I can use this to my advantage, this school arc. Because I noticed when we first started school that you had milk, Midland County's milk, I think they were quarter of points, or Midland County's orange juice every day. Because obviously for your boons and everything. And I was already thinking, I could do it now, because it was only the bigger ones. But when I'm a bit bigger, this is one of the things I'm going to do. And then I also realised that they'd got things like kids older than me that looked after the garden, boring, and the playing fields, that like take the flags out and think, boring. But they also had an aquarium, two aquariums actually. They had one, a big one, with fishing, that you couldn't do much other than feed them. But the others, they had terrapins in, which interested me in terms of what you could do with terrapins, which we'll come to later. So, there was the two me's. There was the goody two-shoes schooling, and then the one that was masked very, very cleverly, there was the varmint schooling. And it sort of flummoxed me mother and father when they used to go to what would be supposed parents' evening, that there was Miss Reese and Miss Sendle, the headmistress, saying, oh, he's a model. He's a model. He's got such good manners, and he's got this, and he does anything, and he volunteers to do this and volunteers to do that. And yes, you know, I was never, my manners was always impeccable, because that was something, you know, we were taught from when we was little. And from that respect, I was very, very good. But what they did realise was all these other things that were secondary, that are disguised by the fact that, I suppose, really, you'd call me a bum licker, wouldn't you? I'd be like, yes, miss, I'll do that, miss, yeah. Like measuring the corridors. Now, you tell me, what in the world you had to measure a corridor for? But you had a yard, they give you a yardstick, and they was long, these corridors, and you had to measure them and tell them how long the corridors was. And I'll volunteer for that. For two reasons, really. Why? One, it was part of me policy, because then I could, you know, do what I wanted to do a bit later. And B is, you got your out of doing some boring date, really, like maths or... The Prime Minister wouldn't like that, but never mind. So I got these three personalities, really. Varmint always at home. And really, I was only a varmint to my mum or anybody else other than my dad. And it's a big varminty things, let me think. Varminty things, obviously, to be scrumping. It'd be stretching wames, particularly if my elder brother had fun 'em, because he was a bit like David Attenborough, and he'd build like wame villages, and I'd, while he was out, like while he was with his mates, I'd get the wames out and stick a pin in one end and then stretch it until it bossed on the line prop to another. I suppose you'd call that varminty, wouldn't you? Or blow frogs up, you know, that sort of thing, throw bibbles at birds. I can see all the, you know, the animal-friendly, animal rights activists coming after me here. But, you know, I was a kid, and I just loved doing stuff like that. So that's a varminty thing there that I carried over into school in order for me to benefit from certain things, certain privileges that I brought upon myself in the way I could manipulate certain jobs. So let's jump on. Wouldn't be many years. It was almost like being a prefect. You was asked to be a monitor for certain things, and these certain things, as I said, I'd watched, and like Hawkeye, I'd watched these other folks do it, and they did it proper. But I was like working out, how can I work this? How can I be a monitor of this to my old advantage, and allow a bit of the varmint in me to sort of manifest itself as such. And so it's happened in certain ways. Some of them developed in the junior school because you could develop a moor, and I'll just touch on them later on. But the two main ones would be, every day, I'd say, the bigger ones would bring round these crates of milk. And these crates and orange juice. And you used to have to wait in the corridor, and you'd knock on the door, tell the teacher was there, and then they'd send the little kids out, and then they'd go back with a bottle of milk or a bottle of orange juice or a bottle of booth. But the teachers were a bit, you know, a bit wary of them having booth, because they were like 5 years old, and half the time they'd just wet the pants in the afternoon, and they'd have to, you know, clean everything up, or they'd be too late going to the toilet, and there'd be a long streak down the corridor. There as a volunteer, I'd say, oh, don't worry, miss, I'll clean that up and I'll go and get a mop and bucket and all that. Or you'd run to the caretaker if they were busy and they do. So all the time, for want of a better word, you'd ingratiate yourself, you know, with the powers that be, and then they'd think you was, you know, the ideal pupil. So time had come when I could volunteer to be a monitor. So first it was, miss, can I be a milk monitor, a milk crate monitor? Oh, of course you can, Billy. Who are you going to have with you? I'll have, and I ain't going to name him. I ain't going to name him because he was up our close. And if he's still alive, I might get a lawsuit off him if I name it. Because I suppose in a way, a bit like when we're at home. You know, my mother piled me sick. There was a dip me with a boiler stick, he'd send me to bed with no food, he'd clamp me around the ear hole, and I suppose now the social would have a field day with you, you know. So I ain't going to name this bloke, because what we did in school could be loosely termed, well, not loosely, it was bullying, I suppose, in a way. And I'm ashamed to admit it. But it's part and parcel. And let me just say that I think the pastings were absolutely justified, and the legs around the ear hole were absolutely justified, and being sent to bed with no food was absolutely justified, and it ate me at all. I think, and I'm going to say something quite controversial now, in this modern wokey world, whatever they call it, I don't know, woke or wake or... Maybe we look too deeply into things on some occurrences where, you know, they say, oh yes, I was abused at the child because my mother hit me around the ear hole. Well, so was I, but I don't think that's abuse. I think you played up and you had a leuk and that was it. You know, they tried to the ends of the earth to say, don't do that, don't do this, don't do this. If you do this, this is going to happen and your daughter can notice. And I was bloody minded and I'd stand in front of my mother and I'd just, I can hear myself now saying, you won't hurt me. So he'd clap me around the ear hole and I'd say that they hurt. And I'd defiantly, I'd say that. So if some psychologists look back at my life, they would probably lock my mother up. Not my father, although my father, yes, you could say it was psychological abuse because all he needed to do was say to me, I'm really disappointed in your son. And we would crumble into dust. Now, if you want to take it to the nth degree and analyse that, yes, that was psychological abuse, I suppose. But come on, you know what I mean? I know it's a different world and I know things go on, but I do think sometimes we look too deeply. And that's just me. So I'm clearing that out the road. So any road up. Yes, probably what we did now was abuse of the little kids. And I totally hold my hand up to it. And did I do it because I was abused? No, I die. I did it because I was a bugger at the end of the day. So here we are. I'm now a dinner monitor. I now was a milk monitor and a fruit juice monitor or juice monitor. So I would go up to with X, my mate, X. Knock on the door. Miss Reese, got the milk and the orange juice for the babs. Oh, thank you, Billy. Wait out in the corridor and they'd send them out. Now, what you'd have to be really canny about what you did, you know, because you wouldn't not give it to somebody who lived up the close. If there was a bab who lived up the close, you'd obviously give it them because otherwise they'd go home and tell the mothers, wouldn't they? Or if they lived in Oakdale Road. But if they were in Grafton, Ferndale, Falcon, it was fair enough away. So, you know, they were your targets. And then you'd be pretty clever, really, because you'd look at them and you'd know who the Cheyennes was. And you'd also know if they'd a Jedi you in the face when you told them what you was going to do, then you know you'd get away with it. And also you got to proportion it because there was probably about 36 kids in the class. So, you'd a not geet to, all on them, or you'd a geet to all of them and you swapped around from day to day. So you'd got to be really clever. So say, Bitsy Neenan come in, Bitsy Neenan off our, you know, off our close. You'd say, hello, Bits. And I'd go, hello, Billy, hello, X. You all right? And I'd go, yeah. I said, you getting on right to school? Yeah, lessons are right? Yeah. What do you want then? And I'd say, can I have milk? And you'd say, yeah, of course, yeah, Bits. Or I'd say, can I have orange juice? Ah, Bits. Bits, do you want both? Or are you going to wet yourself? And I'd go, well, better than you have one, because, you know. And that'd happen. And off I'd go into the class. You might do the first five, and then one would come out to your target who might be off our estate or not, and you'd say to him, don't like milk, do you? And he'd go, yeah. And I'd go, what? What did you say? And I'd go, yeah, I like milk. And I'd go, do you like orange juice? And I'd go, yeah. And I'd go, well, you ain't having none because you don't like it, do you? And I'd go, yeah, I do. And I'd go, if you go in there and tell the teacher that you like milk and orange juice, you know what's going to happen? You go, no. Well, you are going to be nobody's going to be friends with you in the playground. And they go, bro, I do like it. And go, do you like milk or do you like orange juice? Anyway, you carry on until they go, no, I don't. And when you go in, you tell Miss Reese that you don't want any. All right? And they go, great. And they go, then you'll be my mate for ages. It was a bit like the Mafia, would it really? Now I'm telling you about it. It is a bit like the Mafia. Any road up. You'd do that, wouldn't you? And you'd have 36 of them. And you'd probably have 6 bottles of booze spare. So before you went and got the next crate, you'd go down the toilet, you'd drink the bottles, and you'd stick them in there. And ready for when all the empties come back when you went and collected the empties. And you'd do that on probably the bottom four classes. Because then the lads were big enough and the wenches were big enough to say, I'm going to tell on you. And you knew they would. So you've got to be really canny about it, haven't you? Got to be extra canny about it. And that would go on for ages, and then you'd get your little badge, because you'd done, you know, your little star, gold star thing. I think you had red, silver and gold, and gold was like, yeah, was the bee's knees, and you'd have tons of these on your lapel. Well, of course, all the little ones that knowed what you'd done to them used to scowl at you in the corridor, and we don't mind because we had all them gold stars stuck on our charts and everything. So that was the one main thing that we did. being monitors. And the other one was we volunteered. We don't want anything to do with the fish, because, I mean, what's boring about just putting food in fish, eh? Really. And we knowed that we got to be careful here. But terrapin's great. So we said, we'll be the terrapin monitors. So we were the terrapin monitors. And what me and X used to do is, we used to hold them by the little flippers. He'd have two. I think there were six. But we'd hold them by the little flippers while no one was looking. And we'd play like pop tunes, banging the shells together. So say it was Paperback Writer by the Beatles or something like that. It'd be like clink, 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 clink. And then you had to put them back carefully. And the other thing we used to do, we used to hold them about arm's length. We'd get on a chair and we'd hold them about, obviously nobody was looking here. We never got copped. We'd hold them at arm's length above the equator. And then we'd just drop it like that skydiving. And then they'd go joing down to the bottom and just smash the heads on the bottom and come back up. A bit like they were knocked out or something. So they'd be wobbling all over the place. So that was the other thing we used to do with the terrapins, really. We never got copped. Never got copped. And probably the last thing, although I'll tell you something about the school panto, the school play, the nativity, which has stuck with me forever. You had sort of dinner monitors at dinner in the hall, and ours backed on to the junior school one. I wasn't too bothered about, because I hadn't really sussed it out, you know, what we could do until I got to the junior school, what you could actually do with the food, with the little ones. But I did in the infant school, because I loved custard. So what I'd do is, if you had fuss custards and your pudding, you were allowed a different custard. You'd have like seconds if there was any left. And they got canny to me about going up saying, can I have some more custard? You come every day? No, you're having it every day. So what I used to do is I used to say to the little ones, get your dish now and go up and ask for some more custard. And they say, well, I've had enough. And I went, no, go up and ask for some more custard. Say you want some more custard. So I used to get these little kids to go up and have their, I'd have, say, custard, extra custard twice a week. But I'd have it every day, really. And sometimes I'd have three lots, because I'd send them up and I'd say, say you want some more custard. And of course, the dinner ladies would go, oh, Bob, of course you can have some. Here, have extra. And then they'd bring it back and then I'd scoff the lot. So I'd have like oceans of custard in my belly by the time we went back for our... It's a wonder I wore 26 stone, really. But I wore. And that was another thing that I used to do at junior school. So I was a bit... Can you understand how I'd got like... Almost like the varmint from outside was the varmint from inside. It was also the varmint inside. But I was actually I was... disguising the fact. And I suppose, the last thing I can tell you, although there's tons of things about junior school, really, last thing I can tell you is, to my detriment, because I never wanted it, I was the Archangel Gabriel in the Nativity. Now, with my reputation out of school, understand me going home, I can remember the date, and the day that the teacher said, right, we're going to do the nativity. I'm going to hand out all the so-and-sos. Ellie, you can be Mary. And Peter, you can be Joseph. John, you can be one of the wise men. And Billy, you can be the Archangel Gabriel. And I went, what? And I went, the Archangel Gabriel? And I went, miss, me, the Archangel Gabriel. You are jesting, are you? I said, have you seen what you got to wear? And he went, yeah. And you had to wear this like, what would they call it? A bed sheet where they'd cut the top in. So you shoved your head through that. So it was this white bed sheet. But the wussiest thing, oh, and they made like cardboard wings that have got these steel things on and you stuck one under each armpit. So you got these wings coming out your back. But the wussiest thing was they bent coat hangers and stuck little stars on it. And it was like you had this halo on your head. And I went, miss, I can't wear that. I couldn't let anybody on the estate see me wearing that. The Archangel Gabriel's helpful. He says, well, the headmistress has decided that you're the Archangel Gabriel and you've got to have your hands together and do all this jargon. So I thought, well, because me, you know, my mother and father and that had all come, and my aunties and uncles. So I thought, well, I've got to tell him. So the night that I told him, my father fell off the chair, honest to God. He says, Dad, I got something to tell you. On such and such a date, we're having a nativity at school. What shift you on? And he says, what time is it? He says, 2 o'clock. And he says, well, I'll tell you what, I'm on morning. I'll swap to mornings. Now he says, I'll swap from the Jedmon shift, the 2 till 10, and I'll do nights that week. Joe'll swap with me, so I'll come. And your mother can have the afternoon off. We can go and see Mr. Clark and have the afternoon off, so we'll come. He says, so who's in it then? And I went, well, I'm in it. And he went, oh, that'll make it even better. We'll get your aunties and uncles and everybody. Who am you? And I went, the Archangel Gabriel. And he went, who? And I said, the Archangel Gabriel. I'm the Archangel Gabriel in a school play. And he went, you're jesting, are you? Yo, I'm the Archangel Gabriel. I picked yo to be the Archangel Gabriel. And he went, yeah, what's wrong with that? And he says, and you've got to wear halo. And he went, I said, it's a cool tanga, bent to be like halo, but it is halo. And he went, we've got to see this. He says, I'm going over your auntie Glad's now, and we're going to get all your aunties to book the day off. They'll have to close Clark's. I'm going to tell all your uncles, all on your uncles, to change the shifts, and we're all going to be there. And I went, Dad, no, you're cool. It's that embarrassing. You wasted me outfit. It's like a sheet, a white sheet with me head popping at it. I've got a cardboard wings, and I've got to wear this halo. And he says, more the better, more the better. Son, I'm so proud on you. I said, proud on me? The Archangel Gabriel, you've just fell off the chair laughing. He says, that's why I'm proud on you. You have actually been conned into doing the Archangel Gabriel. Because at parents' evening, now this is, you know, this is where they turn the tables, either, and this is when you realise, when you get older, that your mum and dad always will have one over on you. He says, last parents' evening, you know, when they was telling me how great you am and all this, and I was thinking, this ain't my son. This ain't my son. I said to the headmistress, you'd gone. Mother had taken her off. And I said to the headmistress, I said, Miss Sendle, I've got a request. And he went, what? As our lad is such a good lad at school and the nativity's coming up, will you make him Archangel Gabriel? And I went, I will. And I went, you die, Dad. And he went, smiling, I did. I don't think I'd do it, but has done it. And power to her elbow, mate. So here's one for you. All that playing up, all that vomiting stuff doing, all the stuff that you plague your mother with, here's one back. You have the Archangel Gabriel in the school play. And I tell you what, talking about being scarred by all them other things, I've carried that with the rest of my life. And maybe next time I'll tell you about the junior school, all right? And there's tons of stuff to tell you about the junior school.
The undiscovered black country, the folks don't seem to know. The undiscovered black country, where everyone should go. People walk or cycle round, they pass the time of day. The undiscovered black country has places to go.